Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey Sheila, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm good. I'm excited for our topic today. So I met a man named Matt Seuss actually on the dating app Hinge, and we had a great conversation and decided to stay friends after that conversation. But we have become thought collaborators, and we had this interesting conversation on a hike last week about if, what, and when to reveal when you are getting to know someone. And Sheila, Matt, and I thought it might be interesting to have that conversation on Imperfectly Honest because essentially we're trying to figure out what to be honest about. And it's not always a perfect science, as we find with everything on Imperfectly Honest. And with that, I want to pass it over to Sheila. Sheila, let me know if there's anything that you want to fill in, and I'm looking forward to you introducing our guest.
You kind of teed that up pretty well. Matt provided us with a bio, so this is his information that he gave to us, and I think it's appropriate to kind of share it because listeners probably know a lot about me and Elizabeth if they've been on this journey with us. And so I think it's, as I said, appropriate for this conversation to have them know a little bit of Matt's bio. So here we go. Matt Seuss has been a professional photographer and entrepreneur for 35 years, currently as a world travel photographer and educator. Following a failed long-term relationship that ended 2 years ago, Matt set out on a journey of self-discovery and improvement to finally tackle lifelong struggles of shame and avoidance. Reinvention has become his rhythm, which has now led to a strong desire to help others get unstuck following his years of personal experience. This year, he embarked on a new path as a personal development and momentum coach. And we're going to supply more details in the notes regarding where you can go to see that stuff. And also this summer, he's co-launching a dating podcast, Red Flag or Green Flag, Spilling the Tea with Matt and Kelly. Personal comment, I really like that name. And again, we'll supply the place where it is. Matt is currently based in Bozeman, Montana, which is where Elizabeth is currently based as well. So, on that note, I'm going to welcome you, Matt. Nice to have you
Thank you.
here.
Oh, such a pleasure.
And just finish the teeing up by saying maybe the first thing that we can do for the three of us is briefly just give like a macro view about how we actually approach one-on-one first meeting, second meetings, you know, when you're getting to know somebody. So is it like you want to maintain an air of mystery? Is that your personality for a while? Or do you take your heart and just put it right on your sleeve right away?
Yeah, and thanks again, Elizabeth and Sheila, for having me. Yeah, this is a fascinating topic to be talking about, and I'm currently on the dating apps now, and looking to make connections, friends, and it could be a friend, could be a romantic partner. I'm kind of leaving that door open, but you always wonder when you're meeting strangers, what do you say? How much information do you give to them? You want to start out with being honest, and what level of honesty do you do? And is that different from a, if you notice it's going to be a friend ship or if it's going to be a romantic partner? What are the boundaries that you do in terms of talking and really talking about yourself and explaining who you are and also finding out who they are? So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into this here.
Thanks. And Elizabeth, you want to go next?
Yeah, for me, it is my natural inclination to share my deepest and darkest secrets, even with random people that I encounter on a 7-minute chairlift ride. So,
Was common.
but what I've learned, especially over the last couple of years, and as I venture into the dating world for the first time since I was 21 years old, is that that can backfire a bit on you. I am really proud of most everything I've done in my life, and the things that I'm not proud of, I've learned a lot from, and I'm comfortable sharing. However, I don't really want to close doors before someone gets to know the full me. And that's kind of where things have gone awry in the past. I am curious to hear more about your thoughts on this topic because I'm unsure as to how I land going forward.
It is a conundrum, and I'll just again, I'll briefly, because I've given this some thought, and I am a generation past you guys, I think. I'm not sure of Matt's age, but lived a fair amount of decades, and so I've kind of morphed, if I have to be honest. I think I started out in my dating era, both before my marriage and then following my marriage, in terms of being more cognizant and being maybe over aware, over vigilant about trying to sync myself with the person that I'm meeting, get a sense of their interests and kind of go with that, highlight the part of my personality that could please them. People pleaser. I'm not saying it was a good thing. I'm just saying it was the way I was. And then as I got older and smarter, I realized that's not going to be a successful way of forming a long-term relationship. So then I was more honest and revealed myself, depending on the circumstances. And you made an excellent point, Matt. It can be different when it's somebody potentially a romantic partner or a friend. I think a friend, you feel like you can go a little further because they may not be as wary of some of your challenges because you're just going to be a friend.
Right.
And so, what I've ended up now at this point in my life, kind of like a combination of both, where I do want to listen to the person and get more of a sense of them before I go forward too quickly. But it's more because I want to sink myself not into their personality, but just what they'd be comfortable with hearing and revealing. And so that we're kind of on the same page.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And for me personally, I think I've undershared before in the past. And through the last 2 years of my journey of self-discovery and self-improvement and learning as a guy how to be vulnerable and empathetic and talk about feelings, I sometimes wonder, am I oversharing? Am I over, expressing myself on, the first couple of dates with people that I'm meeting? It's almost like, when you learn something new, you're trying to find the boundaries within yourself. Where is it? Where's that line that's too far? Are you oversharing? Am I wearing my heart on my sleeve too much? Do I need to dial it back a little bit? So for me, it's a work in progress, but I do enjoy the sharing and being able to express my thoughts and feelings a lot more open and hope that the other person is receptive to that.
It's funny, Matt, as I'm listening to you, I'm realizing that I've never been accused of undersharing, which might mean that I could I have some room for overcorrection, perhaps. So I love the point that you made, Sheila, about finding out how the person is going to receive it, because I definitely have made that mistake in the past. I have shared some hard to share details with people who aren't actually that comfortable in those types of conversations. And that has gone awry. But, in thinking of, I would say 99.9% of the time that I've overshared, it's resulted in some sort of a beautiful connection. So I've overshared something and it gave the other person permission to share something that they've maybe shared with no one else. Or in other cases, it's created a deeper connection with that person. So even in a short interaction with them, they've remembered that conversation and mentioned it years in the future. And the times when I've overshared, when I look back on it, it's often been an indication that maybe the connection that I was trying to make just wasn't right. As just one example, I went out on a date with this guy who was really into long distance endurance athletics. And it was when I was going through some health issues, and I went on this hike with him that was 3 hours. And at the time, that was really a stretch for me. And it was like a walk in the park for him. It wasn't a challenge at all. And at the end, I said, hey, I just want to acknowledge that I know that you like going long distances. And for me, that was my limit. And I'm just not sure that I can get past that limit in the future because I'm still recovering and I don't know how far I can go. And he said, I really appreciate you sharing that. And he basically kind of said, like, thanks, but no thanks. And afterward, I thought maybe I shouldn't have shared that detail because lo and behold, 6 weeks later, I was able to hike about twice as far as that because I did make that recovery. But then I'm not sure I want to be in a relationship with someone who would close the door because I may never be able to hike more than 3 hours. I just feel very torn.
Well, see, and as I'm listening, I'm thinking there's a difference between revealing something that you know is not going to change inside of you. Whereas in this specific thing, what you revealed to him actually wasn't the reality for your future. But if, like, for, like somebody who has a child and is afraid to reveal with a new date that they have a child, well, that child is not going away. They're going to have to tell this person eventually. And if being with somebody who has a child, if it's somebody who just doesn't want children, and you call it, I hate to categorize a child as a deal breaker, but I myself have the opinion I think early on is the best time to reveal it. Because it's something too important to them. They're not going to change their mind.
Now, could it be too early that things are being mentioned? Now, with the children, that is definitely a big topic there of concern. Going back to Elizabeth with the runner, it was a red flag on a, was it a first date, you said, Elizabeth?
Was actually a third date.
Third date. Okay, so it was a red flag early on in the getting to know you process. Had this information come out later on when he got to know you even further and realized all the other things that you bring to the table, how much of that red flag would have actually maybe even gone to a green flag? Because then, it's like, oh, well, look at how amazing Elizabeth is in all these other fields. Okay, well, she can't hike up Everest with me, but that's okay because then I can have her for all the other times.
Valid, very valid. Yep. And this person, again, this is getting into athleticism, physicality, and everything. This person's life may change so that maybe what they felt was their future and it was a deal breaker, they may not be able to maintain that as, Elizabeth thought for herself. And so it's, yeah, I mean, I keep saying the term conundrum. It's like, what is it that we reveal?
Yeah, that's an excellent point because yeah, what happens if he breaks his leg or something like that and then suffers a catastrophic injury that prevents him from doing all the things that he enjoyed and then he misses out on a relationship that could have filled in all that other parts of his life.
Yeah, not that we don't wish well for him.
No.
No. Did say just yes. Making a joke. Even though he did turn down our friend, we're not wishing him any of those things Matt just described.
No, he is actually a genuinely nice
I'm
guy.
Sure he is. I'm sure he is. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
I'd like to, if I could, circle back to something that Elizabeth, you were saying a little bit earlier, too, in that you said that you were oversharing or you know, expressing a lot of personal things with people that then encourage them to talk more and be more open, too. And talk a little bit more about that, you know, where you expressing, you know, going a little bit deeper into you, how that can repel people, but it can actually also open up people to then make them feel safe enough to then reveal things on their own. And then even piggybacking that with you, Sheila, talking about trying to match the person in terms of what they're sharing. If you're matching and no one ever then takes that one big step to be a little bit more vulnerable, you know, is that a disadvantage there?
I'll let Elizabeth go first, but oh God, Matt, I can see why you're going to have a podcast about dating.
Oof. I can give an example of what happened to me today, which is going to be an overshare that I wasn't going to share when we started this podcast, but I guess I can't help myself. So I have a friend who is really open to overshares, and we have the kind of relationship where we sort of share everything. And we met for a water workout, as you know, I love to do. And she said, "How are you?" And my answer was, "Well, I had a manic episode last week and I learned a lot in the process. So I'm glad it happened. And I feel like I got through it really well." And she's like, "Cool. I'm excited to hear more." I said, "How are you?" And he says, "Well, I figured out that I've gained 30 pounds because I'm going through menopause and my hormones are all messed up. And I also just feel totally lost. Like I have no idea what I'm doing with my life." And I thought, wow, we just dug right into that in the first 5 minutes. And but what unfolded in that conversation is that I shared with her what happened to me when I had a manic episode, which, Sheila, I haven't even told you this yet, but I won't go too far into the weeds, but I've basically figured out that I'm something called hypomanic, which is a very, very mild form of bipolar. And it's something that a lot of artists and highly accomplished people experience, which is when you get really excited about your work or go through a transformative experience in your life, you have trouble sleeping and you can't quite shut your brain off. And for me, the way that I experience it is that I get almost like creative euphoria. My writing pours out of me. I see things that I've been trying to figure out for a long time. I see the solution really clearly. And it's this incredible experience, but it also means that I have insomnia during that time. And it also means that when I come off that creative euphoria, I'm exhausted, like more tired than I've ever been in my life. And the reason why I wasn't going to share that today is because people have preconceptions about what it means to be bipolar and how that might affect a relationship, etc. And for me, I feel like I'm seeing this more as a gift than as a hindrance now that I know how to manage it. And I guess I just am putting it out there because I want to be with someone who sees the world in color rather than in black and white. And if they're scared by what I just shared, then I may not want to connect with them. But my point in this long-winded story is that I shared this experience with my friend and she started crying because she said, "I feel like I have that too. And I never really realized it." And it makes total sense because she is very similar to me just in the way that we're wired. And I have found in researching this that a lot of entrepreneurs in general have this and don't know it and they don't know how to manage it. So anyhow, that's my best example of how this can work in your favor. And it may prevent me from having a connection with somebody that I might want to be in connection with, but I guess it feels like it's worth the risk at this point.
Yeah, I'm not interjecting, but because I know Matt did put a question out there for me, and I think it was about you kind of might miss if you sink into other people too much, then you're not going to grow. And I completely agree with that assessment. And I'm giving a short answer because we wanted to also explore the concept of the fact we live in an information age where even if we want to keep that air of mystery and be circumspect and hide, not hide, keep things close to the vest for a while, there might be stuff out there that doesn't enable us to do it. And how does that impact on how we approach these one-on-ones? And I know Elizabeth has one that we've kind of talked about before we went into this. So I'm just going to share for myself. I don't have that much stuff out there. I think probably the Imperfectly Honest podcast is where the fountain of information about me is going to be. And even though we do share a lot, overshare maybe, I'm not sure there's anything that's in that at this point in my life that gives me pause. So I'm going to just throw it over to you, Matt, briefly. Do you think there's stuff out there that has impacted on how you are communicating, especially as you're moving through now the dating world?
Great question. There isn't anything out there right now, per se, outside of, just my photography career. And, I am very present and available and public in the social media, with that photography career, but, I stay very public, and that's kind of guarded in a sense, because I'm controlling the output. So I've really catered to, controlled, what I was putting out there. But moving into this coaching and dating podcast world, and just also becoming more vulnerable myself, I'm going to start exploring that and putting myself out there more and taking more chances with being possibly judged for some of my thoughts and what's happened in my life and what I view in relationships. But then the flip side of that is that I could let that judgment affect me and bother me, but then at the same time, I'm not trying to attract those people who would then judge me. I'm trying to attract people who have a connection like this, or like in Elizabeth's story here, her friend all of a sudden realized that, hey, I may have this too. And what would have happened if Elizabeth didn't take the chance to be vulnerable and share something personal and public about that? If people didn't do that, how many other people can't be helped by that information? So I'm looking forward to being more vulnerable and not worrying about what other people are going to say.
Yeah, I love it. And again, you can join our little golfing group now because you just teed up for the story that Elizabeth has in terms of stuff that's out there on the internet.
Well, it's kind of along the same lines. I put my business name on my Hinge dating app profile because I kind of like people to Google me because I have a lot out there that I'm proud of. And
Oh, they're gonna do it anyway. Yeah.
I realized that
I did
when
as soon as I saw your profile, I'll admit.
So when you put Elizabeth Krauss merge lane into Google, the last thing on the first page is an interview that I did with David Cohen, the founder of the Techstars Startup Accelerator, about some of my mental challenges that I just talked about. Or maybe I should say mental advantages, really, at this point. But yeah, I guess it's sort of already out there. That was sort of a previous version as I was trying to figure out what was going on with me, but nonetheless, I guess I'm out there.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're kind of a similar mind to Matt, and I think I am too. Again, a few, I hate to keep bringing up my age, but you do have a different perspective on this kind of stuff when you're just a few more years down the road. But it sounds like you are of the same mind that, this is who you are, and you're more willing to have the positive result of somebody taking away something from your experience and getting something positive than you are somebody who's listening going, not so much. Nope, don't think so. Because who wants to really hang out with that kind of person anyway?
Yeah. I mean, you attract what you put out there.
That's kind of it. So would love some final thoughts in terms of this whole topic. If there's anything as we've been talking, either of you feel like, you know, is bursting inside of you and you want to overshare.
I would just say real quickly, you know, pay attention to the scene. Like if you're out there dating and meeting someone, wondering if you should be oversharing or sharing a whole lot, you know, just be aware of who you're with and check out their reactions and see if they're being attentive to you and paying attention. Unfortunately, online dating, there are some bad characters out there, and you don't want to be oversharing with the wrong person. So, you know, are they listening to you? Are they attentive? Are they asking you good follow-up questions? If they're not, then that might be the person you don't want to be oversharing with.
That's excellent. What about you, Elizabeth?
For me, I think I'm going to think about what I reveal as a headline versus with context. So part of why I was comfortable sharing what I just shared was that I put some context around it. And there's another podcast episode out there that I have done in the past that has a headline that might scare people away. I won't say what it is, but I might not do that again. Because if they actually listened to the episode, they would understand where that headline came from, and I'd feel totally comfortable with that. But at the end of the day, most people have very short attention spans, so they may never actually get to that context. So I think I'm going to reveal things with context, reveal fewer things with a headline.
No, you know, my broadcasting background, you know, no sound bites. Sound bites usually go awry. It's much better to kind of flesh things out, even if it's, you know, doesn't have to be a long-winded thing. But, you know, I agree. Just having something that's like, what did it used to be? Twitter, didn't it used to be just 40 characters or something?
Something like that.
I apologize for my non-tech knowledge, but I think it's more now, but like that really caused a lot of problems. So I guess that's my final perspective. It can be very different when you're in a one-on-one, as we started talking about, than when we're putting things out for a group of people we haven't even ever met. It's just caution. And that's, again, one more time. It's not like I'm getting paid every time I say this word, but that's the conundrum. So I have really enjoyed this conversation. I'm so glad you guys met and broached this idea. I hope, Matt, this has been fun for you. We love having guests. We've discovered we love having guests.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Ian. This is so enjoyable. I've been listening to the podcast ever since I met Elizabeth, and great to meet you, Sheila, too.
Nice to meet you, even if it's just kind of through the phone lines or whatever, whatever this is, a wireless line. So, Elizabeth, great talking to you. Really enjoyed it. And until next time, although that's usually your line, so I'll let you go with that one.
Until next time. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. and sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.